and welcome to EY's quarterly Eurozone forecast debate, where, with the help of my guests, we take a look at the development within the Eurozone and how it impacts both the public and private sector. As usual, we'll also take questions from our viewers. Well, the main takeaway from the report is that the Eurozone is making slow but steady progress towards recovery, but the risk of deflation remains. Well, with me is Tom Rogers from Oxford Economics, author of the report, and also Stephen Lewis, Global Lead Analyst for Banking and Capital Markets for EY. Welcome and thanks for being with us. Let's go to you, Tom, first, as author of the report. Can you just sort of give us a brief rundown of exactly what the report covers?
Well, it covers the fact that the Eurozone is recovering. We saw Eurozone GDP growth of 0.2 in the first quarter of this year, and that's likely to pick up to 0.4 in the second. We think the Eurozone will grow by about 1% this year overall, and that's after 3 or 4 years of stagnating or falling output. So the recovery is underway. Having said that, it's growing at different rates in different parts of the Eurozone. And the parts of the Eurozone that have done most to improve competitiveness and improve their attractiveness to business are growing faster. And in particular, we picked out Germany, Ireland and Spain, where growth is likely to be 2 to 2.5% over the next few years. In contrast, in countries where there's been less reform achieved, and France and Italy in particular, we think growth will be rather less, under 1% in 2014. So the recovery is underway at different rates, but as you quite rightly point out, the threat of deflation remains. Inflation slowed to 0.5% on the year ago in May, and it's likely to only pick up very modestly through the rest of this year. The ECB will be watching closely and making sure that it does pick up, but the factors that are likely to make inflation pick up in the next couple of years are largely externally driven, and the ECB will be watching closely for any threat of deflation lurking in the recovery.
Thanks, Tom. Let's go back to you, to Stephen, then. And in terms of this slow but steady recovery that Tom's talking about, how do businesses react to that? How do they form their strategies bearing that in mind?
So I think it's a real struggle, to be honest, because they're busy trying to read what are quite mixed signals. So on the one hand, as Tom said, you've got slow but at least recovery coming through. Some of the markets are becoming more competitive. You've got quite a ready sources of labour in a number of markets that if companies want to expand, that's great. And you've got sort of structural reforms making individual markets more attractive. On the other hand, with this threat of deflation, businesses are worried about whether to invest now or wait. They're worried about how consumers will react to the threat of deflation, whether they will effectively kind of delay sort of larger purchases in the hope perhaps of seeing them be cheaper in 6 months or 12 months' time. You've also got that sort of the issue of whether the recovery is going to be sustained. Whilst we don't anticipate any shocks within the Eurozone, with issues outside of the Eurozone, whether it be the situation in the Ukraine or developments in Iraq, what that means for the economies of Europe, the US, the emerging markets, what that means for investment is still an unknown quantity. So I think, banks and businesses are trying to weigh up exactly how they should respond.
You mentioned Ukraine and Iraq because there have been a number of big issues outside of the economic environment that are really playing a big role on what we're seeing and how banks and businesses are having to react. How much of that is an issue going forward, do you feel?
I think the sort of situation in the Ukraine, certainly from a market perspective, where we are now seems to have been priced in. It seems relatively contained. There may be some issues around the availability of gas going forward, but we're entering the summer, so hopefully they've got a few months to play with that. So the situation in the Ukraine seems to be contained at the moment. Clearly that can change. If you look at Iraq, again, it's still contained within the region, although there are concerns about what that will mean for the price of oil. So I think it very much depends on how things evolve over the next few months. But from a business perspective, you know, they've been sitting on, certainly the larger, stronger businesses have been sitting on quite significant cash piles waiting to invest, but they need certainty. Businesses don't like uncertainty. So whilst that uncertainty remains, I think we'll still see some reluctance to invest significant sums. We're starting to see it, certainly if you look at, you know, the M&A market is picking up. We've seen an increasing number of IPOs come to the market, but that's reflecting the fact that the markets continue to perform pretty strongly because they're not yet concerned about these issues, either in Ukraine or Iraq, but that can change.
When we're talking about uncertainty, deflation becomes a big issue. Tom, how real a threat do you feel it is?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the Eurozone is probably only one shock away from a period of negative price growth.
What kind of shock could that be, do you feel?
Well, it could be something that emerges from outside the Eurozone. It could be a slower than expected US recovery, for example. It delays the tightening of monetary policy by the Fed, and therefore the euro strengthens, and that has a deflationary impact. It could be a slower than expected Eurozone recovery. But I think the risk of one of those happening is receding as confidence gathers, not just in the Eurozone, but also in the US. So I think it's fair to say that the ECB is treading a reasonably fine line in terms of the margin it has to play with. But our central forecast is that it will see inflation start to pick up. The other thing to bear in mind, of course, is that inflation deflation will only be propagated if households and businesses expect it to, and they start to adjust their behaviour in order to expect falling prices into the future. And the ECB has a very important job to do in communicating the fact that inflation will get back to 2%. One way or another, and explaining the policy measures that guarantee that. So the ECB will have a big job to do, remaining vigilant and ready to explain what it's going to do in the event of one of those shocks.
We've got a couple of questions from our viewers when it comes to deflation and inflation. First, Panagiotis from Greece says, could the deflationary environment turn into hyperinflation? If so, what could cause such a change and what would be the time frame for that? Let's start with that one. Tom, do you want to pick that one up?
Well, I think it's less likely that we'll find ourselves in a hyperinflationary scenario. If you look at across the Eurozone, there's plenty of spare capacity, not just in countries like Greece, where unemployment is still well over 25%, but also in most other economies, you're talking about spare capacity output gaps of 2 to 3%. So there's plenty of spare capacity. Businesses are still competing very fiercely for the orders that they're looking for, and people are not able to bid their wages up. So I think in the near term, there's the focus should very much be on the downward risks to inflation rather than the upsides.
Stephen Bahriyav from India wants to know what the consequence of low inflation and possibly deflation would be on economies that trade regularly with Europe. For instance, India exports agricultural products to the EU on a regular basis. He says, will such an economic situation have an effect trade with economies sort of outside of Europe?
I mean, in terms of the sort of the broader demand for goods and services, clearly, you know, if we enter into a period of deflation, then both customers, consumers and businesses will sort of rein in their purchases. And that would apply both to sort of, you know, domestic and international purchases as well. I think the other issue, you know, is around the currency. You know, clearly it makes exports more attractive if the euro is lower, and the reverse is true if the euro goes up. So I think, you know, from an international perspective, it's really very much tied into the broader recovery. And, you know, as Tom said, the significant spare capacity in the labour markets at the moment, you know, what will drive trade up is actually reducing that capacity, getting more people into work, getting businesses comfortable with investing in those markets.
Michael Keating from Ireland says, is low inflation the new normal for developed mature economies? I mean, Tom, do you want to pick that up?
Well, it's true that we've seen inflation very low over the course of the past 2 to 3 years. In part, that reflects an adjustment in global commodity prices. You know, we had a very high oil price in the pre-crisis period, which fell off very sharply. And we're looking to a period where there's plenty of spare capacity. So both those factors have kind of kept inflation low. We'll stop inflation rising to the kind of 2.5-3% that we saw prior to the crisis. But having said that, the ECB is very clear about what its target is. It's close to, but just below 2%. And it has to do whatever it takes to get inflation back to that close to but 2%.
But it's got a very tough job at the moment. I mean, because we have got this divergence within the economies of the Eurozone. Yeah. And one medicine does not suit all.
And that's absolutely right, yeah. And I think there's a case to be made that as Eurozone economies recover at different paces, the focus around when the ECB eventually starts tightening monetary policy, and that's some time away yet, but you can start to see that becoming more of a thorny issue further down the line. But I mean, for now, I think the ECB is very much in the game of looking for ways to add more stimulus to the economy, and that's what we saw in June, of course.
And when we did have that ECB announcement, we did see the euro weakening slightly. You mentioned the euro and its impact on exports. Going forward, though, what do we need to see, do you feel, in terms of currency for businesses in the region to really sort of benefit?
I mean, you know, clearly the sort of the lower currency will benefit, but that won't be the only thing that drives the investment. Clearly, you know, we talked about lower rates from the ECB, both in terms of its main refinancing rate and in terms of the deposit rate, to try and encourage banks not to hold deposits at the ECB, but to lend out to the economy. We have the first of what they're calling their targeted long-term refinancing operations to begin in September, where they're looking to lend up to, I think it's 400 billion euros to banks, so that will be passed on to small and medium-sized businesses. So I think that injection of funding, if it actually makes its way through to sort of the end user, is going to be a key driver of a sustained recovery. I think the other thing, you know, we've talked about divergence between different economies within the Eurozone. I think one of the other things that we need to try and address, and hopefully the ECB actions will help do that, is to try and sort of harmonize the rates at which companies can borrow across different markets. So you still have, you know, this divergence between relatively low borrowing costs in the stronger economies such as Germany, but still high borrowing costs in Spain, in Portugal, in Greece. So getting that more normalized, I think, will also help, particularly in those markets where we need them to recover.
I mean, funding is a very important part at the moment. And we don't seem to have moved on much over the past 6 months when it comes to funding and companies are willing to borrow that much and the availability of funds. Do you feel it is getting better slowly? Slow but steady. Are we back to slow but steady?
I think it is getting better slowly, and the emphasis is on slowly. And I think you've got to look at it from both sides. There is the willingness of banks to lend, but there's also the willingness of companies to borrow. Okay, and we're back to that question of certainty and wanting to invest. But on the bank side, you know, the expectation is that total loans will grow very slightly this year. If you look at the Eurozone as a whole, there will be some business investment, but actually the bigger growth driver of that will be residential mortgage lending. So the business investment that we expect to see, we don't expect to see this year. I think it will be next year. But, you know, clearly that will, as it does start to happen, will strengthen the process and get, yeah, as some businesses start to invest, more will, because they'll start to see the growth and the opportunities.
But when they are starting to invest, this divergence in the economies really comes into play, doesn't it, in where they're looking for?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, when you look at the performance of countries like Spain and Ireland and Portugal as well, in getting labour costs down, companies in those countries are going to be the ones that are able to best tap into those opportunities as companies in, say, for example, Germany start to invest and become more confident about the global recovery. The question is, who's best to tap into that supply chain? Now, in the past few years, countries in Central and Eastern Europe have been very good in doing that. I think the challenge is for the companies who are in more competitive economies to try and do that, to tap into to German growth, as well as, of course, exploit their own export opportunities.
So what sectors do you feel, Stephen, that we're going to see really sort of coming out of this first?
So I think the, you know, if we assume that, you know, the US continues to recover, and if we assume that the emerging markets continue to grow and we don't have a shock there, then, you know, clearly strong sectors such as the German manufacturing sector will continue to perform. I think the continued investment in infrastructure, much needed in some markets, you know, whether you're looking at sort of improving transport or improving broadband, that should help to move the economy forward. In terms of where banks are looking to invest and which sectors they expect to see kind of coming to the fore, we do a survey of banks in Europe every 6 months. The latest one comes out next week. And in that, the expectation is certainly that banks will be lending more to small and medium-sized businesses across different sectors. Other sectors that come through are the kind of newer economy sectors, such as you know, telco and IT. We are still expecting to see very sluggish growth, in fact, continued decline in some markets in the real estate sector.
Do you think these companies have, lost faith? Have they got faith in what they're seeing their central bank doing and guiding them along the way? Do you feel a little bit?
I suppose if you're a business, there is perhaps a sense of frustration that the ECB hasn't moved further faster. But, you know, clearly, you know, as Tom has said, the ECB is treading a very fine line and has a number of competing priorities to try and manage. So, you know, I think that there is an element of frustration, but, you know, a lot of companies, as I said earlier, are sitting on significant cash piles to invest if they want to. So there's that certainty question. But clearly others need access to funding if they're going to be able to grow, both within the Eurozone and if they're going to be able to export into other markets.
In terms of the ECB, Tom, do you think we're going to see policymakers setting a higher criteria for QE down the road?
Well, I think markets got a little ahead of themselves in the first quarter of this year when they interpreted comments made by the head of the Bundesbank that QE wasn't out of the question. A lot of people seem to think that that meant that it was around the corner, and that simply wasn't the case. And in the past few months, Mario Draghi has reiterated that what he would want to see before he considered a QE program was that inflation expectations were becoming detached, and according to the ECB's measures, they aren't yet. So I think he will continue to reiterate that, even as inflation continues to ease throughout the second half of this year. If that were to be the case, but inflation expectations remained well anchored, I think you would see that message becoming even stronger, yeah.
I mean, that plays into another question which has been sent in by Orlando from Malta, who says, what are the reasons or fears behind not implementing QE in the Eurozone as the situation stands?
Well, I think this really kind of comes back to objections about the role of the European Central Bank within the Eurozone to start with. We know that there was objection to the agreement of the Outright Monetary Transactions Programme, the Mario Draghi's Doing Whatever It Takes programme that they agreed in September 2012. We know that that wasn't universally popular, and the suspicion is that QE isn't universally popular, particularly amongst the parts of the Eurozone with the stronger economies and a greater, if you will, historical aversion to inflation. QE is probably far more amenable to the countries with the largest output gaps. So I think that there are still kind of institutional blockages between parts of the Eurozone policy-making firmament that make QE still a tricky idea to sell to all parts.
And I think, sorry, just coming in there, I think the other thing is, you know, that there is this over-reliance on the ECB to fix everything. As we've seen in some markets, you know, they've gone a long way to undertake structural reforms, labour market reforms. More of that needs to happen across the Eurozone. If you look at the recent World Competitiveness Index, you have Germany ranked 6th, you have France ranked 27th. So different markets need to look at how they can strengthen their own competitive environment and not necessarily rely on the ECB.
OK, I do have to leave it there, but thank you both very much. I say thanks to Tom Rogers and also Stephen Lewis. Now, as ever, you can follow the Eurozone development on EY's website, ey.com/Eurozone. We can also download our app with all of the forecasts. Our next quarterly Eurozone forecast, that is in September, but the next rapid growth markets forecast is July the 17th. Thanks for joining us.